AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a busy week of European action and the fallout. Celtic will face Bayern Munich in the playoff round of the Champions League, but will fans be allowed to travel? Four different options for Rangers, who finished top eight in the Europa League. And it's a big weekend across the country. Life after Stuart Kettlewell begins for Motherwell. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Evans.
My understanding, Gordon, the Celtic fans won't find out until after the first leg against Bayern Munich whether or not they'll be able to attend the second leg in Germany. UEFA's hearing will take place mid-February, but I'm very much afraid that the stupid actions of one person may have cost the entire Celtic support their trip, because UEFA were insistent one more breach and there would be a travel ban. Well, the breach came at Villa Park and I'm afraid it would be a travel ban. But good week for Celtic. Pride, prestige, but no win. Pride, prestige and a win for Rangers against Union Saint-Gilloise. Now they can look forward to the remainder of the competition. Good week for Celtic and Rangers.
A fantastic achievement for Rangers, obviously making it into the top eight. Their performances in Europe for me have been outstanding. I think they'll be looking at a draw today. The form they have been, especially at home, they'll fancy themselves against anybody in that composition. As for Celtic, I thought it was a good performance in stages. The big talking point, obviously, Adam Ida finally stepping up with some big moments, two great finishes, and Bayern Munich awaits.
0141-951-1025. It has been extremely busy for weeks here in Scottish football, and it is just continuing. So please do get your calls in on whatever of the various topics that are out there tickles your fancy. Celtic fans, how do you feel about Bayern Munich? It was Bayern Munich or Real Madrid. It's quite an interesting choice, but which one would you rather? Did you get the right draw for you? How do you feel about your chances there? What do you hope the squad looks like by the time that comes around? Because will it be Kieran Tierney now? Will it be the summer? What striker comes in to replace Kyogo? Anything else that's doing the rounds out there? Give us all your thoughts. Bayern Munich next for you Celtic fans. Rangers fans, let's look back on last night. Just how big an achievement is that? You look at the level of opposition in terms of Europa League that you've had to play. Look at some of the players that have had to play in the positions that they've played in. You were given a 10% chance of making the top eight at kickoff last night, and it happened. How big an achievement is it? What did you make specifically of the game last night? And then again, what about all those wider points? A couple more million in the pot. Can you do something before the end of the window? And how do you feel generally about the European success versus obviously a frustrating time at points domestically this season? So get all your thoughts in, please. Of course, as we've spoken about, we don't quite know yet. There's no point in us prejudging the outcome of a tribunal or a hearing, but there is clearly that doubt hanging over you Celtic fans as to whether you'll be able to travel or not. On to the games this weekend. Motherwell fans, I don't know if Celtic is the ideal opponent when the club's in a bit of turmoil, but there we are. Life after Stuart Kettlewell goes on. Give us your thoughts there. And look at that Hibs and Aberdeen game a couple of months ago. That was the moment. That Rocky Bashiri equaliser sent Aberdeen spiralling downwards rapidly, and they meet again this weekend. There's so much to look forward to. What we've got first against third in the Championship tonight as well, I think. Yeah. So it is all happening. 0141 951 1025.
Yeah, very good weekend in store. I'm told that Jota has been looking good in training at Celtic. He's in the squad for Fir Park. Once Louis Palma's transfer to Olympiacos is confirmed, then we'll find out what number Jota will wear on the back of his Celtic shirt. There is a need for Celtic to get Jota up to speed and quickly, because Daizen Maeda will miss the first leg against Bayern Munich, because he'll be sending off against Young Boys. And I think Brendan Rodgers wants Jota from the start against Harry Kane and the rest of them at Celtic Park.
It's going to be a great couple of days because we've got the transfer window now as well, Scott. And Europe's collided with it a bit this year. We've all praised the new format of the Champions League and Europa League, but what it has done is sort of muddied the transfer window a bit, because Kyogo probably isn't allowed to go if there's a lot riding on the Aston Villa game, and now you've got a couple of days to get your house in order, whether you're Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah, I think obviously Rangers making top 8, I think it will bring in additional money, which the Rangers board will welcome, and it might give them a bit of movement to maybe get one or two in, saying that as long as you get some out as well at the same time. But for Celtic, I think obviously the fans are asking for another striker. Adam, he had obviously done himself no harm for his performance during the week, but I agree with you, it's time to get Jota up and running. And we'll see what comes on Sunday.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Spoiled for choice as always. Rangers performance last night, top 8 secured. Looking ahead to your 4 possible opponents in the next round of the Europa League, thinking about the bigger picture and what Philippe Clement does. As for Celtic fans, what do you make of Bayern Munich? What do you make of the potential travel ban for supporters? What about Kyogo's replacement? What about Kieran Tierney? What about the next few days of the transfer window? It is all happening across Scottish football, so please do give us a call, just like John has done. How are you, John?
Good evening, Gordon, Scott, Hugh. I just want to talk about the enigma that is Cyril Dessers. A couple of weeks ago, people wanted him out the door. He was looked like he was leaving. But since then, been arrested or dropped, he's come back into the team. He's looked a phenomenon. The goals he scored the last couple of weeks, even last night, he didn't score, but he assisted one, and he was all over the park, even defending at some points. And I don't think we can let him leave now, because you can't replace him. Because we've got Eggerman, who's come in, done really well. Not a great game last night. I think the injury in the first 20 minutes affected him, but we need to keep Cyril. 40 goals and 11 assists since he's been at Rangers is off the chart numbers. And I've got another wee point to come in, if that's okay.
It's not... he's been on a good goal-scoring run, and as John said, didn't score last night, but I wonder if actually last night was one of his best performances for Rangers.
Yeah, it was as good as I've seen his hold-up play for Rangers. He was isolated a lot of times in the game and managed to hold on to the ball and allow the team to come and support him. Does fantastically well for the second goal. And I think over the last few weeks, I think it was the fact that early on in the season there was so much pressure on him to get the goals. Goals weren't coming from elsewhere on the side, and it does obviously put huge pressure on your shoulders, especially at a team like Rangers. But he's come out the other side of it, and that tells you a lot about Cyril Dessers as a person, even also with the player. He's managed to back that up now with some consistent performances, and I think that's what the Rangers fans were looking for.
How many times, Hugh, have we had a call that goes, I want to talk about the enigma that is Cyril Dessers? I feel like I've heard it before.
Enigmas are the best kind to have about you, a bit of life about them. Rangers are in an awkward position, because if someone came in tomorrow and said, we'll give you 15 million for Cyril Dessers, you'll need to go.
Oh, jeez, that's not going to happen, though, with all due respect.
I know, but I agree with John. Now is not the time to sell him. There is still a Europa League to be negotiated. Rangers have to get a favourable draw, getting closer and closer to another European final. So the goals he scored at Old Trafford and at Tannadice, my goodness, what strikes they were. So it would be awkward, to say the least, if a bid came in. But that's the precarious situation that Rangers are in. I'm afraid John and the other Rangers supporters will need to wait until 11 o'clock on Monday night before they breathe easily.
John, what did you make of the overall achievement then, getting top 8? A 10% chance, apparently, last night. So the other results went your way. Rangers, of course, had to do their part. How do you feel that achievement stacks up, being top 8?
Well, considering the injuries we've had in the last couple of months, and the teams have finished above, and the fact that 4 of the teams that are in the top 8 have already played, I think it's phenomenal. I think Rangers, apart from the Champions League a couple of years ago, in Europe were different beasts. We're just consistently getting the results. Thursday night seems to be the place to be at Ibrox to get these results. But I feel what we've had to play with the last few weeks, we're having to bring in right backs at centre-halves and bring in players that haven't played much for the team. Leon King came on 10 minutes, he was off. I even feel Tavernier since he's come back into the team. His defending has actually got better since he's been rested or when he was injured and came back into the team. I feel every player has kind of stepped up recently, and Clement was nearly out the door for a lot of fans wanted him, but you've got to praise him as well, that with what he's got left players wise, he's got a tune out of him.
John, you must feel a sense of anguish as a Rangers supporter that so many idiotic points have been dropped in the league, because Rangers are beginning to look like a proper team, and the unfortunate thing for Clement, you, the players, a lot of damage has been done domestically.
Oh, definitely, Hugh. I mean, I feel the points at home, we've dropped 2 points all season, but away from home, it just doesn't seem to click for us. But the game against United on Sunday, hopefully that's a turning point. We're going to get some players back, hopefully, for injuries that are coming on last night. Maybe we've got one in the door, maybe one, possibly two more on loan. We just need to get these players back for injury and get them no go back at the door injury again. A couple of players have left on loan. I just feel very unfortunate with injuries, but if we get a wee bit of form running together, the league's probably gone, but maybe the Scottish Cup and deep into the Europa League is where we could go.
But is that what makes the European success so good, Scott, as John references? Because there have been injuries. I think you strip this right back. You go right back before a ball's kicked. You say to Rangers fans, you'll finish even top 24 in Europa League. I think they go, right, we take that. You say you can finish top 8. Definitely take that. Under any circumstances, that would be good. But you add into the fact, as John says, it's been quite a tough draw based on who they played and where those teams finished. Then you add in the fact that that kind of mini resurgence domestically comes with guys like Yanis Hadji. He's not even in the European squad. Injuries and absences are such that James Tavernier, that John praises, is playing at centre back. Bailey Rice is playing half a game at Old Trafford. Ross McCausland is playing right back in the game that sees you over the line to top 8. So is it all those factors coming together that will really please Philippe Clement?
Yeah, so I don't think you can understate how big an achievement this is for this Rangers side, considering the chopping and changing that Philippe Clement has had to do with this squad. Obviously injuries in there and form with some of the players. So they're a different animal in these European games. And some of the sides have had to go away to Olympiacos, Malmo, really tough places to go historically and get wins. So the biggest exclamation mark over Rangers is the away days and the domestic form. So, but we've seen a step forward against Dundee United. That's what they'll be looking to do. I feel like we've said that quite regularly on the show. Yeah, but there seems to be something changing at Ibrox now.
Let's hear from Philippe Clement on the achievement of finishing in that top 8.
I think it's a massive achievement of all squad, and it's really squad, it's not team, it's not 11 players or 14, 15 players, but all squad has been involved in that way, and it was necessary. You see it also today again with Leon King, who had to play at right fullback, then he had to come off with a serious concussion because he could not see anymore, and Ross playing then right fullback, so we had to be very creative the last couple of months. But everybody digged in, did the job, and did the job brilliantly. Like I said, just in Dutch, it's not only being in this top 8, and if you look, then all the teams that finish behind you, there are really massive clubs with much massive budgets who are behind us, but also in this top 8, from the 7 other teams, we played against 4 of them. So that makes the achievement only bigger, I think.
That's a good flex. I'd have done that as well if I was capable. Say, as I just said in Dutch, as I then did it in English as well. Alan is on the other line. How are you, Alan?
Fine, thank you. Good evening, panel.
How would you sum up your feelings on this progression then, Alan?
Your first call of punch to my main point was, yeah, I was very pleased with last night. Desser's very strong, had a great game, but as I say, the first caller about James Tavernier, I think 99% of Rangers fans are going about his defending, which is at times very poor. But if he's came back for being dropped, don't know what's happened to him last night at centre-half, at Old Trafford at centre-half, even playing in his normal position, his defending's improved 100%. So I hope it continues. But very pleased with last night. And as you say, 10%, I was listening to you going up to the game, 10% chance. OK, everyone fell into our lap. But yes, very pleased.
Can you see a future for James Tavernier at centre-back, Alan?
Oh, well, that's two hard European games. He's still got the speed, obviously, and he is good in the air, so why not?
It's all part
why not?
The...
If I could get a wee quick point with you when you're finished, please.
Dessers is an enigma. Tavernier's an enigma. The whole thing's an enigma because, you know, as John, the first caller, said, you know, you're talking about a season of demonstrations, protests, people wanting the manager out, people wanting Tavernier out. But now Rangers are, in the latter part of the season, really starting to put performances together on an individual and collective basis. I think the remainder of the season has many interesting moments left in it for Rangers.
James Tavernier, future Rangers centre-back.
I think, he's proved that he can put in a performance, both away to Manchester United and then at home last night. I think when he plays in there, he's obviously less isolated with, obviously, guys round about him, so you don't maybe see that defensive aspect if he's playing against someone with real speed. But in terms of his contribution and over the last two Europa League games, it's been fantastic. We've all been in here saying maybe it's time for a younger guy maybe to come in. He doesn't have the legs, but how his response to being left out of the team and coming back has been nothing short incredible.
It's funny because Alan mentioned, you know, responding to being dropped. It was actually one of those Europa League games, wasn't it? It was the end of November, Nice away.
Casemiro.
That was one of the ones that, sorry, that was proper Suter, Sterling, Jeffrey, that back four. I think you're maybe Olympiacos as well then, that one. Was that the other one? He didn't start either of those, Olympiacos or Nice, away from home, and very much back in there now. And I know there's been injuries as well, so there are less options, but he's very much back in the fold now, and various positions.
Yeah, in various positions, obviously contributing on and off the ball. Obviously with assist last night, fantastic delivery, and defensively with the clearance off the line. I just think Phil Clement makes a very good point. It has been a full squad contribution in this Europa League stage, and that will be the main thing he takes from this, that he has 18, 19 players who have all came in against hard opposition and had impacts.
Well, funnily enough, because Alan brings it up, it's a good point. Let's hear from Philippe Clement praising James Tavernier's adaptability and having a joke that he could perhaps have found a new position.
I think he even likes it. I heard even some rumours that he was saying to people, yeah, like this I can play a few years longer. So, yeah, Tav is a massive player, always been for the club, somebody with a good view on football, with an understanding of the game, and that helps in that position. He has his technical qualities. So, yeah, he likes to be also in that position. We talked about that the few months before. I can use him as a right fullback, I can use him as centre-back, I can use him as a right winger, what we did also in some games, because he can make the difference also in that position.
Thank you very much to Alan. 01419511025. I know, but we've rushed it a wee bit and the clock has got the better of me, so we'll do it next time. Thank you very much to Alan. If you call us now, we'll take more calls after the break. Celtic fans, Bayern Munich, are you happy with that? Is that the right word? How do you feel about that tie? And what about this potential travel ban hanging over you? Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need, so come on down, because there is a whole host of topics for you to choose from tonight. So much happening in Scottish football. We've got European stuff, we've got a transfer window. It's Friday, which means big games coming up this weekend as well. Now let's hear from something that's developing a bit at Celtic today. First of all, on a pure footballing sense, Celtic fans, what do you make of Bayern Munich in the Champions League? One of the proper original football superpowers in this part of the footballing world. How do you feel about that as a draw? Is that more favourable than Real Madrid? Seems like a strange question to ask. I'm sure they're both very good, but is that the one you were hoping for, or were you hoping for Real Madrid? Give us a call right now, please, if you can. Brendan Rodgers, though, says it'll be bitterly disappointing for genuine fans if they can't have supporters. Of course, Celtic were in their last warning, so to speak, from UEFA over the use of pyrotechnics. There was one, I think, that made its way down at Villa Park. So here's what the manager had to say.
Well, I'd be bitterly disappointed for every genuine Celtic supporter. Clearly, that's not decided yet, but it's serious enough for the club to put that statement out. You know, for those Celtic supporters that are genuinely bonded with their club and their team and that have travelled near and far over many, many years, to even be at the risk of not going tells you the culmination of events that have taken us to that point. I really hope that it's not the case, for the genuine supporter who loves the club and supports the club and have gone to games all over the world. But let's see what comes from it. We would never want to get to a point where we go into a game of such magnitude and we can't take our support. I would hope it wouldn't, but if it takes something like that, then it has to change. The football club, we can't keep paying hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of fines. There's so many things around it that I don't like, but we have the opportunity to change that, and I hope it does for the sake of the genuine Celtic support.
John's on the line. What made you call tonight, John?
Regarding the pyrotechnics, good evening, Gordon, hello. Shu and Scott. I know Scott's an ex-player, but you and Shu, Gordon, are journalists. Let's rewind back to one of Barcelona's games earlier in the Champions League. Sure, you might have seen it. Both of you might have seen it. Their ultras get banned from the stadium because of the pyrotechnics. And the only way to get back into the stadium was if they paid the fine. Now, it's going to take somebody to get severely hurt, seriously hurt, with these pyrotechnics coming onto the park. Now, what if that hits a player? I know what pyrotechnics are, being an ex-soldier. But it's going to seriously damage somebody. Is that what we've got to wait on for a stadium closure? Now, you spoke at the top of the show about the fans that want to pay big money to go and follow the Scottish teams in Europe, Celtic and Rangers. And it's happening in both divides, Shu. What's the answer? No, security is not the greatest. It's not getting done properly.
I get where John's coming from, Hugh. I actually think there's some separate arguments here, because right now, when it gets to this isn't actually even really a debate about should you be allowed pyrotechnics or should you not, or is it dangerous or is it not, or do fans want it or is it not. The way UEFA treat it, obviously, it's this strict liability. We've spoken about it for years. You're just not allowed. And then if you do it, as soon as it happens, UEFA fine you. That's why Celtic are in this position, because it's totted up over the years. And what it then means, this is why some people don't like strict liability, because what it then means is one dafty can bring something in, and that's you, and you're snookered.
If UEFA adhere to the letter of their own law, there'll be no Celtic fans in Meath.
I keep saying it, though. I don't see the point in sort of prejudging the outcome of this. Let's let it happen and see what it is. But I do take your point.
Yeah, but Celtic have to hope that there are mitigating circumstances. As I understand it, one pyrotechnic device was thrown onto the park, and not by what you would write off as being an impressionable teenager or a young person. Not by a young person at all. The club have addressed this situation over the years now, and I'm very much afraid that it's always fallen on deaf ears. And the Celtic supporters have to realise that there is in their midst people for whom the rule of law means nothing. They will do whatever they want to do. They don't care what the police tell them. They don't care what Celtic Football Club tell them. They will just do what they want to do. It would be a tragedy for the Celtic fans to miss out on Munich and the chance to support their team there. It depends on whether UEFA are ready to listen to mitigating circumstances.
Scott, will put the more footballing side of it to you. I don't know if you've got any strong thoughts either way on pyrotechnics or not, but would you make a Bayern Munich as a draw? Because it would be wrong for that to be overshadowed. It's quite a big deal, one of our Scottish clubs getting to this stage of the Champions League and facing a club of that size.
Yeah, it's a great tie. I think even more so for the Celtic fans, but for the players, when you go over there, obviously the return leg, and depending on how the first leg goes, they can be the difference for you over there the last 10 minutes if you're holding on, if you're not, pushing you over the line. And I think that's from the players' point of view, where yes, when you have displays in that, it can, before the game, it can look excellent, but during the game, when they come on, it can put players off their stride. Times gone by and gone by, and your guys are coming on trying to throw them off. But ultimately, as a team going away to Bayern Munich, you need your fans there. And if it's unfortunate if the Celtic fans aren't allowed to travel because of one guy thrown on a pyrotechnic, it'll be really disappointing, especially for the players and even more so for the fans who go and just want to watch the game of football and support their team.
I think, as I say, the rule of law doesn't appeal to some people who go to football, but it is an illegal thing to do, and it's become tiresome. Brendan Rodgers has said before that he doesn't see what it brings to the match day experience, and I agree with him 100%. And I repeat, it would be awful if the Celtic supporters were denied the chance to go to Munich to support their team because of one isolated incident. It's now up to UEFA.
What did you make of the football side of it, John? Bayern Munich, was that... What did you want out of the two? Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, what was easier, dare I say it?
Well, it's some magnitude, isn't it? No, for the two of them. Bayern and Real Madrid, 21 Champions League European Cups between them. It's unbelievable, isn't it? As I say, Shue's probably seen a lot more than us with Real Madrid over the years.
Yeah.
Shue being a young pensioner.
I remember...
Bayern Munich's it's a big game, Gordon and Scott and Shue. World-class players. I think they've just about lost one of their players for about 57 million. Ange Postecoglou at Spurs. The boy Matthias Tell. But no, it's good. And Shue hit the nail on the head. It would be a big downfall if the Celtic supporters... couldn't get there.
Hugh, you had the choice between the team that's top of the Bundesliga or the team that's top of La Liga. I don't know how much there is between them, but what did you make of the draw?
I think that's why you're in the Champions League.
Yeah.
If you're a Celtic fan like John, I remember Celtic against Real Madrid in 1962, and it was the first time I ever heard a rhythmic chant inside a football ground. And Real Madrid, who won the European Cup in this country in 1961, represented Hollywood. And still do represent Hollywood. The iconic jersey, like Celtic and their jersey, iconic. And I think that's why, whether it was Real or Bayern, that's why you're in it. You want to see Harry Kane at Celtic Park. You want to think that you have a chance at Celtic Park. I'm not sure that Celtic have a chance in Munich, but... that's why I'm keen for the Celtic supporters to get there, because I've been in that stadium many times and it is sensational.
They played, of course, in Brendan Rodgers' first spell. The 2-1 at Celtic Park. Celtic came pretty close that night. I think Callum McGregor scored his first ever Champions League goal. Most of Brendan Rodgers' first spell, people kind of point to the fact that it didn't yield many good results. And it was still a defeat on the night, don't get me wrong. They weren't a million miles off that night. How tough is this?
Yeah, it's really tough, but I don't think it's the greatest Bayern Munich team we have seen over the last few years. I think for Celtic and Brendan Rodgers, their development was progress. They have got that, and now you're rewarded with one of the ties. It's been Bayern Munich over Real Madrid. But for me, I don't think it's as strong a Bayern Munich team than we have seen. And Celtic, depending on how they play in the first game at Celtic Park, will be really interesting. But as we touched on again, you need the Celtic fans with you in Munich to get anything.
Do you remember a teenage Vincent Kompany playing at Celtic Park for Anderlecht?
Yeah.
That was one of his first ever games.
Celtic beat him 3-0, if my memory serves me correctly.
And now he's back as the Bayern manager.
When he became the Bayern manager, I thought, no, you're kidding.
From Burnley to Bayern.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But, as you say, he's top of the Bundesliga. Harry Kane scores one goal per game. That's his average. It should be a privilege to be there at Celtic Park as a supporter, to see not only your team and Jota and all that's going on, but to see Harry Kane. It'd be wonderful.
Let's get Brendan Rodgers' thoughts on the prospect of facing Bayern Munich.
Yeah, got the easier one, didn't we? It's brilliant. We've earned to get to the playoff stage. Players have been outstanding over the 8 games.
and that qualifies us to play one of these top teams. So, we'll look forward to that when it comes. Yeah, I think that's been the beauty of the competition. There's obviously pros and cons to that, but as I say, it was so dynamic. You know, people will say, well, if you could have one point more, you might have done this or that. But it was so fluid and dynamic right to the very end. But the ultimate objective for us was to qualify, and then wherever that is, you're still going to play against a really good team. So we'll look forward to that. We've played Bayern Munich before here in my time. We had a really, really good game at home. Played very, very well. Could have got something from the game. So when that comes, we're really excited by that opportunity, and we will give everything we can over the course of the two legs.
Bill is on the line. What do you think, Bill? Can Celtic get past Bayern, or is that a stretch too far?
Probably a wee bit of a pipe dream. I think when you consider we were getting either the favourites or second favourites, you know, to win the tournament. So either way was going to be difficult. I preferred actually getting Bayern to Real over a number of pastings from Real Madrid. But I'm not saying we won't get a pasting from Bayern, but I think we have a sneaking chance of maybe being able to do something against them. Mm-hmm. Maybe scoring the odd goal, you know.
Yeah, I always find it hard to pitch these two against these types of teams, Scott. You know, when Bill says that, you know, you've got he set the bar pretty low. He's looking at who's less likely to give you a pasting, which I kind of get. And it's very hard because these teams aren't infallible the way we sometimes think. Look at them domestically, you know, they will drop points, or look at them in the Champions League. But then you've seen it sometimes if they turn up and they turn it on. I mean, Mbappe, Vinicius, Rodrigo. I don't know, Celtic fans would have fancied that if they're all on song. But is there much difference? I don't know. If you had to pick, do you think Bayern are?
Yeah.
Do you think it's slightly more manageable?
Yeah, I would say slightly more. I think, obviously, you look at Real Madrid's history in the competition. In saying that, Celtic's home performance against Real Madrid a few years ago was as good as I've seen from a Scottish side over the years against a very good Real Madrid side. But for me,
they still lost heavily, yeah, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But in terms of performance, I think Celtic acquitted themselves well that night. But for me, I think Bayern Munich would be the better one of the two. What that looks like, I don't quite know yet. It's going to be interesting to see how Celtic set up in the next few weeks, whether they get another striker in or not, whether Jota hits form as fans would want to see. But I think Brendan Rodgers will think they have a chance of doing something at home.
Brendan Rodgers had an objective for this season when it came to Celtic, and it was to show a sign of progression in terms of European football. And he's done that by making the knockout stages. So there is a sense of pride in that achievement. And I go back to the point. Think of Juventus at Celtic Park on the night that Chris Sutton ran riot. Think of Tony Watt scoring against Barcelona and Rod Stewart crying and everybody. The whole thing that goes on around major events. That's why you're in it. Yeah. To get the cream of Europe. Yes, it may be a Bavarian bridge too far, but welcome it, embrace it.
I think Gordon Dale's still got some credit left on his train ticket for Munich from the Euros, so we're going to see if we can go back over and get use out of it. Bill, go on. I know you had a second point.
They're relating to two teams. One was Celtic and these idiots who keep letting off these pyros. I think it's about time Celtic started paying out a bit of money for the police to start padding down people before they go into the games, because it must be a lot cheaper than having to pay the UEFA fines. And the other point I would like to make is regarding the Motherwell fans. What expectations do the Motherwell fans have? They're in fifth place in the league, and yet the manager and his family are getting abuse. How high do they think they should be getting?
I think you have to keep this in perspective, Bill. This is in danger of spiralling out of control. You know, it's not as if every Motherwell supporter decided to give Stuart Kettlewell a hard time. Let me be absolutely clear. I sympathise with Stuart Kettlewell and his family, because obviously some things have taken place which have been distressing for his family.
And just a quick accuracy point, I don't think there's an allegation that his family have been abused. I think it's the knock-on effect of him getting the criticism.
The distressing effect it's had on them. So let's just be clear. This is a tiny, tiny minority, because the impression has grown that Motherwell Football Club are at war with their own supporters. Players have been critical of fans. Everyone needs to take a step back here. Some people directed abuse at Stuart Kettlewell. As a result, his family were distressed by it all, and he has taken the decision that he's perfectly entitled to take, and he's walked away. But you can't take a brush to the Motherwell fans and tar them all.
Bayern Munich pyrotechnics and Stuart Kettlewell all in one call. Well done, Bill. We covered some good ground on that one. If you want to jump on board any of those topics, now's a good time whilst I run this past you.
325k bonus payday.
That's a serious amount of cash, that. £325,000. That would pay your UEFA fines, Bill. That's not a bad number, that. And one entry is all it could take. So enter now for your chance to win £325,000. Text YES to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter online for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. And the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. And all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The lines close at 5 p.m. next Friday. Just answer your phone. It is that simple. The £325,000 would be yours. It's a guaranteed winner as well. Someone will win the lot. It might as well be you. So text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen is here alongside his pal Hugh Keevans, and they're asking you to get in touch. 0141 951 1025. And you've got loads to choose from. You've got Rangers' performance last night. We've not actually spoke specifically really about the game. We can do that, or is it all about the bigger picture? Top eight. Who would your preferred option be, Rangers fans? I don't think we've had an answer to that yet. Twente, Anderlecht, Fenerbahce, or Bodo Glimt are the four. If you've been doing your research, who would you rather get out of those four? What do you make of the squad at the moment, the way they're performing in Europe and so on and so forth? Things you'd think you could or might add in the coming days in the transfer window. Let's do the lot on the usual number. In fact, Russell is on the line. How are you, Russell?
Very well, thank you. Yourself, Gordon?
Good. All good here. All good. What's happening then?
Basically, just one question. It's registration based. Now, obviously, with both Celtic and Rangers qualifying for their respective next rounds, Jota would be eligible, of course, for the next round. Does the same apply? Basically, the same rules apply with the Europa League. Can you register a player per round?
Yeah, you can you can register again from now, basically. So, as an example,
with Hadji and Danilo, yeah. And that's basically in my mind.
Yeah, they can. I mean, that would obviously apply usually at this stage of the season for teams like Celtic or anyone else. You're looking at, okay, what new signings can we register? But for Rangers, you've actually got some in the building, Hugh, that you're really frustrated of not being able to take part for different reasons.
But in the case of Hadji, the manager chose not to put him in the squad.
But because of the contract, I think the manager would have had him in. But because of the contractual situation,
I would tend to look at it as, well, it's even more of an achievement that minus Hadji and Danilo, you still made it to the last eight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when they come back in, as they will do, then that's a real bonus.
But that's, like I said, in the last couple of weeks, Scott, it's just been sort of staring you in the face that the kind of early season or the historic chaos that goes on at Rangers, that you're going into games, you're enjoying what Yanis Hadji is bringing to the team in a domestic game, and then you play in Europe on the Thursday and he can't play because of some contract situation, a registration issue and so on.
Yeah, but it seems to be figuring itself out. I think that would be like two new players for Rangers in that competition. You look at Thursday, obviously Leon King coming in, and then obviously having to go off injured Ross McCausland. That's where Rangers have been.
Because Nsiala also has been playing domestically, but wasn't in Europe. Maybe wasn't quite as high up the pecking order when the registrations were put in.
But the players have come into the fold for Rangers because of the disappointing performances earlier in the season of certain individual players who have then been taken out, and the players that have come in have made a difference in some of the domestic fixtures. So that's then led to that. There's been a lot of ups and downs for Rangers, but at this moment in time, it seems that they're on an upward trajectory. Hadji, no question, makes a huge difference to that Rangers side, especially creatively for them. So it'll be interesting to see what type of squad Rangers do have for the upcoming game.
Take it that pleases you, Russell. That's the answer you were looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly does. Thank you very much.
What do you think of how much are you hoping that extra cash from getting the top eight might mean? Not only can you add Yanis Hadji, etc., to the squad, but maybe some new players or a new player.
Yeah, well, I think that we should be certainly looking for a couple of new players. If the rumours are true, i.e., with GFT, Chelsea, of course, it could be the summer. Agamani as well, there's certain kind of shadowy interest there as well. It's only natural to keep building the squad and try and put ourselves in a position where, we might be able to, do the whole buy, sell at a better rate than we are doing, because we get absolutely nothing, for example, wise for Morelos and Kent. And we don't want to go down that road again. We want to advance on and off the pitch.
I read an interesting quote from Niels Coppen, the Rangers head of recruitment, who said of players like Agamani, be brave and sell them and think, I'll find another one. If you want to begin that player trading model, the thing is that's okay for him to say, but the supporters are saying, what?
They need to see the proof in the pudding there, though.
Yeah.
Hugh, I think it'd be interesting to see what Russell thinks in terms of specific positions you would like to see Rangers. If you could only get one or two in, what positions do you think Rangers need most at this moment in time?
What do you think, Russell?
I'm thinking a goalkeeper.
Ooh. Well, not the one expected.
It's undeniable that Jack Butland has taken to making periodic mistakes. I mean, the Old Trafford, they got away with one at Motherwell. Another one last night, beaten from an unrealistic distance.
Sure, though, but if Rangers can sign one or two, it's not going to be a goalkeeper,
is it?
Sort of cash Jack Butland will be earning.
No.
It's interesting, though.
What would your priority be?
Still a midfielder for me in that sixth position.
I mean, fair play, because Philippe Clement, he can be quite open about things, sometimes too open for the Rangers fans, but he's now got that, not get out, but when he's asked about transfers, he can now say, leave that up to the board. Because before, there was no one really there to take that stuff, and he would answer it. It was an extra few million last night. Does it at least... His hand now strengthened a bit more. Let's go back 2 months. The calls we were getting is, right, if this guy's staying, you can't let him sign players in January, because he might be gone by February. But has all that stuff died away a bit to the point where he's brought a new assistant manager in this week?
Yeah.
So does it look like, there's a bit of forward planning going on?
He spoke about the financial constraints that he was under and why people would have to go in this window. But he spoke before the money was guaranteed for making the next phase of the Europa League. I think he's entitled to ask and entitled to get money between now and 11 o'clock on Monday night. And when he said initially, one in, maybe two, well, Rafael Fernandez is in. The maybe two hasn't been done yet, but I think he's entitled to think that it might be maybe two or three.
And then that's why, it was Patrick Stewart that said that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
About the one or the two in.
Yeah.
Or whether it's board members or a manager. I always think it is hard, Scott, because you feel like, okay, was that before Matondo and Dowell left? Does that change? Was it before? Well, it was before, but you know what I mean? Does that change as a result? Does it change as a result of last night? Because there's also bits that we won't know. Dowell and Matondo are almost certainly big earners, and they've gone out on loan. But what we don't know is how much of the wage are Hanover and Birmingham covering. It might only be half. It might not even be, you've seen it all before.
Yeah. They're still saving themselves a bit of money, though.
Rangers might still be picking up a good bit of the tab.
Yeah, you would imagine. So I do think, though, based on last night in qualifying in that top eight, I think that will give them a bit of wriggle room to get a player in, because I do think they still need strengthened. For me, yes, 2 months ago the questions were out on Philippe Clement, but since then he had a huge performance against Celtic, and he's obviously got that top eight, which gives him a bit of credit in the bank.
Thank you, Russell. Let's see if we can get you some credit in your bank with a victory on this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. The Pundits are going for their 100th victory of the season.
Oh,
there you go. Nice incentive for
pressure,
you.
Pressure.
However, the listeners, you do have a win on the board this week. Let's see if you can make it to 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here and Scott Allen alongside him on a very, very busy Friday. So please keep joining in if you can on 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight then? We're talking Bayern Munich with you Celtic fans. Is that a preferable draw to Real Madrid? And maybe not much in it. How do you feel about that draw this afternoon? How do you feel about the fact that away fans might not be able to go if UEFA impose a travel ban for use of pyrotechnics at Villa Park? What about transfers? We've not really done that. Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers talking today about still hoping to come out of the window stronger than they went into it. And as it stands, it still looks like Kieran Tierney in the summer rather than January. So what does that mean at left back right now? Because Alex Valle is gone, there's only Greg Taylor. So I'm assuming you'd want that area addressed. But do let us know how you're feeling there. And Rangers fans, still looking for you. I know it's a choice of 4, which is a bit broader. But go on, come and pick which opponent you'd like to face in the next round and let us know how you're feeling heading into the final days of the window. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let me check the form. A win for Hugh takes him level with Simon Donnelly.
Oh,
I don't know if that is that a good thing. Is that considered a good thing? Oh. Mid-table mediocrity, I would actually say.
That's good for me.
But because you've not played as often, you're in a very delicate position here. Defeat for you tonight, you're going to be in a worrying spot.
Where am I sitting?
11th.
You're Ross County.
But again,
not played much though.
Exactly. But if you win, that percentage will rock it up because you've not played very often. Anyway, Alan is in Pollock. How's it going, Alan?
Hi, all right.
Would this be your debut, Alan?
Aye, first time.
First time. Would you rather play Scott Allen or Hugh Keevans?
Not really first.
Not really first time. That's the best way to be.
That's a vote of confidence in you and me.
I know, I was thinking that.
Heads. That's alright, I'll probably get beat anyway.
Oh, brilliant. He's confident in his own ability as well. But that maybe he's playing it down and then he's going to come and surprise you. Heads, it'll be Hugh Keevans. Tails, it's Scott Allen. And it's the old experienced campaigner. It's heads for Hugh. So what we'll do here is give Hugh something else to listen to, and that way he can't hear us. Alan, I'll give you 30 seconds where you just answer as many as you can, and if you want to pass and move on, that's perfectly allowed, okay?
Alright.
Right, let's do it. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Aaron Hickey joined Brentford from which Italian side?
Bologna.
Name any team Rangers could face in the last 16 of the Europa League.
And the left.
Who's the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
David Martin.
In what position do Livingston currently sit in the Championship?
Second.
Aside from Nicholas Raskin, who's the only other Belgian to score for Rangers? Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I can't. If that doesn't get you up for this, yeah, oh, I don't know. Well, yeah, I was bouncing.
What were you listening to?
Oh, I have no idea, but it was like George Bowie music.
Was it?
Yeah.
Scott's shaking his head, you're not having
that. That danced up version. Right, okay. I could see you tapping his feet.
It was the GBX.
Was it?
It was officially the GBX, yeah. I think. I mistakenly said you were listening to something else, but I've been reliably informed It was your old pal, George. Right, you ready, Hugh?
Yep.
30 seconds goes on the clock and it starts now. Aaron Hickey joined Brentford from which Italian side?
Bologna.
Name any team that Rangers could face in the last 16 of the Europa League.
Fenerbahce.
Who is the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Jim Goodwin.
In what position do Livingston currently sit in the Championship?
Third.
Aside from Nicholas Raskin, who is the only other Belgian to score for Rangers?
Pass.
How many Scottish managers currently work in the English Premier League?
One.
Okay. Have you done enough, Alan?
Nah.
Simple as that. You got off to a good start, though. You got off to a good start. You said Bologna for Aaron Hickey, and you were correct. But unfortunately for you, so was Hugh Keevans. You also, correctly, both of you, you had the choice of Anderlecht, Bodo Glimt, Fenerbahce, and Twente. You both got it, so it was 2-2. And then none of you got the next one. Alan got a quick kick in the you-know-whats, though, because I said, who's the longest-serving manager in the Premiership? And he said, Davy Martindale. And the next question is, what position are Livingston in the Scottish Championship? Yeah. So he knew straight away it was wrong. Derek McInnes.
Derek.
Incidentally, is the longest serving now. So there we go. And spoiler, Livingston are third. Alan, so that's the one that moves Hugh Keevans one in front of you. Aside from Nicholas Raskin, who's the only other Belgian to score for Rangers?
Buffel.
Thomas Buffel. Buffel, well done. Well, I say well done, none of you got it. Well done, Scott Allen. But Alan, you couldn't dig it out, which means Hugh still leads by one. And that was the end of the road for Alan. You had time to put some gloss on it. Davy Moyes is the one and only
Boise
in the English Premier League. Remember that season we had, what was the highest number at one time? Was it not like six,
four or five,
eight? Yeah. I think it was higher. That season that it was like Sir Alex Moyes, even Steve Keane was in there, was he not?
Yeah.
There was loads for one.
Steve Keane at Fulham, was it Fulham?
No, Blackburn, I think. Blackburn. For a spell, but there's only one. But there we go. Alan, hard lines, it wasn't enough. But I thought you did all right. Getting two on the board.
You're the Thomas Buffel, Esther.
No. Nothing worse. Who would you rather face, Anderlecht, Bodo Glimt, Fenerbahce, or Twente, Alan?
I'd like to play Anderlecht.
What's that based on? Like, they'll be a similar level to last night's opponents, and you think you can get beyond them?
Rangers have always done well when they've been out of Belgium to play.
Yeah. So it's hard to. I don't think there's probably not loads between those sides.
Traditionally,
you maybe want to avoid an away trip to Fenerbahce. I don't know.
There are elements of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and the road to Sevilla, but all of this, you know, that they're pulling out results that you think that's terrific performance, and Ibrox is undoubtedly an asset. But even on the road, unlike their own country, when Rangers go on the road in the Europa League, good performances follow. They're very, very unlucky at Old Trafford. Desser's goal, you thought would have been a point for Rangers there, but then they were denied at the very end of the game. So whoever they play, I mean, Jose Mourinho, without doubt, would bring colour. Everyone would love to see him
box
here.
Box office, wouldn't
it? Oh, yeah. He'd be knocking each other over to get an interview with the special one.
See, although he's been everywhere, have we really had him play Scottish teams?
Well, Celtic.
I know the original one, though. Yeah. That was the start of him.
Yeah.
But since then?
On the touchline, actually in Scotland for a European game.
Because none of our teams played his Chelsea team, did they? Celtic avoided Real for ages until that Ange Postecoglou won. Someone can tell me, but I can't remember. Don't think so.
No, but
that'd be good. That'd be box office.
Yeah,
I'd like to put you in front of him.
Oh yeah,
our special one.
Yeah,
and him,
the elderly one meets the special one.
Oh, that would be good. That would be really good. Do you not play? You play Fenerbahce at Celtic?
Yeah, I played there. It was a hostile place. I was actually really looking forward to it. It was. I think they were going through a transitional period at the time as well, and we came away with a draw. I'm sure Chris Commons played, scored the equaliser. But yeah, that was an experience.
Was it as hostile as people?
Yeah, it was loud.
Say?
It was loud. I think when you play at Celtic Park or Ibrox, it's already loud enough, so you're kind of used to some sort of decibel level. But it was hostile from the minute you go out for the warm up. You hear the whistles, the kind of. A customary with going to play the Turkish teams away. But I think Rangers, looking at all these ties, you can see in the performances this season, if they were to go away from home, they are capable of of producing yeah. something, whether that's a defensive display and getting them on the counter attack. They have proven it. So I think Rangers could be a problem for any of these sides.
You started that game. Who came on for you? Can't even remember.
No.
It was either.
Didn't play that well, actually.
Chris Commons, Tom Rogic, or James Forrest?
Tom Rogic, probably.
Could have been Commons.
Was it Commons?
How come you're... Hold on a minute. The real crime here, with no disrespect to him, is that you got hooked and Nadir Chiefchi survived the 90 minutes. No other strikers on the bench, though, incidentally.
Yeah, we'll go with that, Gordon.
If Rangers get Fenerbahce, they should take Graham Souness over with them and let him plant a flag in the centre circle.
Is there a... Do you follow the logic from the phone lines there that Belgian opposition, Rangers have faced a number of them in recent seasons? Yeah. There's not been loads to fear. I know that's quite a broad brush approach to it all, but
I turn it on its head. They fear Ibrox, and it's a real advantage for Rangers. And it's not just about people power and the atmosphere, although it's a big, big help, but the players are lifted and there are players there now. Rangers are gradually becoming... The only expression I can use is a proper team.
And they will be stronger.
Yeah.
They will be stronger at this point.
Thank you very much. It's 01419511025 on the phones if you want to join in. That was Alan on Beat the Pundit. We've got John standing by as well. John, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. And yourselves?
All good here, all good. What made you call?
I wanted to just say it's absolutely fantastic Rangers have managed to get to the last eight, considering the team looks more like a hospital ward than a team. I think going forward, any of those four teams, I think Rangers could beat any of them. But I think it's absolutely marvellous to see Cyril Dessers getting the plaudits again. After falling off the wagon, me, I'm about five or six times I'm back on it again.
Do you have one opponent that you would prefer above the others, John?
I don't know. I think I would like Fenerbahce just for getting Jose Mourinho there. I think that'd be cool. But any of them, really, I think Rangers on their day could take any of them, which is good to see. I think we need to, as Rangers fans, ask ourselves, what does success look like for us this season, considering what we've got left of it? Through to the next round of Europe, I don't think it's too much of an ask, considering the teams that are there and winning the Scottish Cup. And I think things start looking rosier for Phil. Come on.
In a normal footballing world, maybe, Hugh, except... this isn't one. And Giovanni van Bronckhorst got to a European final, was a spot kick away from maybe going on to win it, and won the Scottish Cup and didn't last much longer.
No.
You need to make a dent in the league at some point. And I'm not saying I'm not saying Philippe Clement gets sacked if he doesn't win the league this season, but we've got a recent example, what was that, 3 years ago? Three years ago, that it just takes more.
I think you build it gradually. The Scottish Cup, as John said, a tangible sign of Philippe Clement having made something out of what was a dreadful start to the season. Who knows how far they can go in Europe? I would not think that Rangers have no chance of getting to the final. I would credit them with having a chance of going all the way to the final. The way things have worked out this season, they deserve that consideration to be taken into account. And then it's all about the start that they make to next season. I have no doubt now that Clement will be in place at the start of next season, and a squad is gradually coming together. The problem they'll have, the better Igermany gets, the likelihood of an offer will increase. Vaslav Cherny will go back to his club. The Rangers have that kind of money to try and take him back on a permanent basis. All of these things have to be addressed. But I think it's undeniable that, and John has said himself, that he goes on the bandwagon, jumps off the bandwagon, goes back on the bandwagon. That's the way all the Rangers fans are. But I think it's undeniable now, and I'd invite John to tell me yes or no, that Clement is taking Rangers in the right direction.
I agree, John.
I think there's something there with him, but it's just the waveform has absolutely brutalised us this season. Hopefully, the Dundee United win starts to turn that around. But I think you can see with the age of the squad, it's a lot better now, and we are starting to get rumours about players going to big teams now. The player trading model could be there, and that's partly thanks to Phil Clement. And I think he doesn't get the credit that he deserves, but sometimes he does get the shouting that he deserves as well for some of the results that have happened this season. But you've got to take the good with the bad when it comes to football. We're not a perfect team right now, but I do have a sense that we are going in the right direction for the first time since even Steven Gerrard was there.
I'll tell you what, if it shows you how quickly things change here. Imagine a couple of weeks ago, some of the conversations we were having. We're now getting accused that Philippe Clement is not getting the credit he deserves.
Yeah, yeah.
How have we gone from... We couldn't find a caller to come on and back the guy the night after and the nights after the drop points at Dens Park. And now he's not getting the credit he deserves, Scott, a couple of weeks later. It's quite a funny business.
It is, and that's just football, and especially in this city. I think the credit that he does deserve is at times in the season this year where it's looked like it's going to spiral into a real problem. He's managed to come up with big results after it. I think that's what's then bought him the time and got him the credit in the bank. I think the Celtic game was a huge tick off his list to finally beat them after Dundee. You're looking at what way is this going to go. They then go and get the away win against Dundee United, which was probably Rangers' best away performance for me this season in the league, and then obviously backing it up with that top eight finish. So at the times when it looked like it was spiralling, he's managed to turn that around.
Well, John mentioned Cyril Dessers again because he keeps coming up. We can't keep him out the headlines. Philippe Clement thinks he was excellent last night and he wants to see more performances like that from the striker.
Cyril played a brilliant game. I want to see him more. He's also one of the guys, he's not from the young guys, but the evolution of... I remember when I came in last year in October, how everybody was talking about him. Or even now, some people still. But the games that he played this season already and how many amount of goals that he made. So he's very important. But he made a very good evolution in many things that were for me also not good enough in the beginning. But you see more and more that he's using all the potential that he has inside of himself.
Gordon DL is going to be unbearable tomorrow because he has been Cyril Dessers' main supporter, and he will be telling us tomorrow that only he could see the potential that lay there. And good luck to him, because Dessers has made himself now an item where Rangers are concerned. The fans, all the calls from Rangers fans are along the same lines. They don't know whether they like the team, dislike the team, dislike the manager, like the manager, dislike Dessers, like Dessers. They don't know where they are. But Dessers, I think, Rangers, if they could, would have to resist the temptation to sell them before Monday night.
Yeah, I think now at this stage, Rangers have got to keep a hold of them, I think.
Sure.
I think the performance of Iggerman has been the key catalyst in kickstarting. Cyril Dessers obviously come under that criticism, seeing a young player come in and have such an impact. As for me last night, for Cyril Dessers' hold up play was as good as I've seen it in a long time in a Rangers side. So I think there's a few factors that's maybe it started to change for Cyril Dessers at Rangers, and Iggerman's performance from the get-go being one of them, and obviously the criticism he has come under. You then come back in, you score a fantastic goal against Manchester United, you take huge confidence from that, and it looks like that's grown him.
Come on then, 01419511025, give us a call right now. Any Motherwell fans out there, what's the latest feeling? Maybe the emotion starting to die down a bit. It's been quite a fraught week on social media in the aftermath of Stuart Kettlewell walking away from the club. So how are you feeling about the vacancy now? And Celtic fans, we're about to hear from Brendan Rodgers on a couple of key topics. Kieran Tierney still looks more likely that it's the summer rather than now. So what are you going to do at left back? Because there's only Greg Taylor now. Alex Valle is gone. And what about transfers generally? Because I know Jota's back, which is exciting, and he might make his second debut at Fir Park on Sunday. But Kyogo's gone. So what are you wanting done in the next couple of days? Give us a call now on that, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen's here alongside Hugh Keevans, and they're waiting for you to get in touch because there's still loads of time. Usually on a Friday, we'd very much look ahead to the weekend's action, but we've got so much on our plate, we've barely done that yet. If you do want to switch focus, you can do. There's a managerial vacancy, Motherwell fans, if you want to give us your updated thoughts. It was all very angry and frustrated and people blaming everyone else and all that sort of stuff earlier in the week. How are you feeling about it now? And transfer window coming to a close, is it Monday? It's Monday, is transfer deadline day. So get your wish lists in for us. What would you like your team to do between now and then, particularly you Celtic fans? Because we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. And on that theme, look how perfectly this ties in. Your teaser tonight is from Jerry in Erskine. He emailed it in, as everybody does, fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the last 8 Celtic players who went from loans to permanent signings? So directly from a loan and then into a permanent signing. Oh, I don't like that, because I have to say, there was me thinking this was quite, because they're all quite recent, if I'm being honest. I'll give you that right away. And it's quite a popular model Celtic have used.
Yeah. Boston Laval.
No, I mean, a wildly random place to start. Seriously. See, when you start going through them, you will look back on that as your first answer and think, what was going through my head? Some of these are proper high profile, as in big fees, big part of the team, recently.
Right, so came to Celtic and then
came to Celtic on loan.
Yep.
And that then became a permanent signing.
Going the other way, sorry.
Louis Palmer?
No. Oh, I know it's easy when I've got the answers right, but see, once you start hearing these, you're overcomplicating it.
Oh, Ademida.
Thank you. Okay. Ademida was on loan last season, signed, you might have heard, 9 million. Anyone? Ademida. Any more that I can interest you in?
Paolo Bernardo.
Yes, okay, thank you. Boston Loal seems like a long time ago. That was Jerry and Erskine who sent that question to fulltime@clyde1.com. Right, let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. We'll do a couple here because they're sort of linked. He says, as it stands, Kieran Tierney will be joining in the summer.
Yeah, yeah. And I won't speak any more on it, because he's not, Kieran, I said the other night, by the summer, we'll be a Celtic player. And that's it. And if he's here later in the month, you'll know.
Short and sweet.
I think Arsenal have got their own commitments, both European and domestic. And Kieran is a regular off the bench now for Mikel Arteta. I think Arsenal have simply said, OK, he wants to go back to Celtic, but he'll go back when we can afford to let him go back. And that's not now.
Mm. I know why managers get frustrated at this time of year. They have to have dafties like me sitting in front of them. That wasn't me that asked that question, by the way. But I would have if I was there, because ultimately, and he did say the other night, it'll be this summer, but we'll try and do something now. So it's understandable that fans, and then by extension the media, will say, is that something going to happen now or not? Yeah, I mean, but it doesn't look likely.
The journalistic coverage of the window gets slightly fevered in the last 2 or 3 days.
I think the clubs have actually got away with it, because there's been so much other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually you go to Lennox Town or Rangers Training Centre twice a week at this time of year, and it's transfers, transfers, transfers. But it's only really now that it's picked up.
I must say, I find Kieran Tierney's situation perfectly understandable. Arsenal have business to conduct. Yeah. Domestic and European, so he's going nowhere. Celtic will get another left back to cover for Greg Taylor, and it will be a loan to the end of the season. They do need another forward. I am perfectly well aware that Ademida passed his test with flying colours at Villa Park, but they do need another striker, because Celtic have business to conduct, Europe and domestically.
Quite weird. The Tierney one's strange though, Scott, because if it, you know, pre-contract, and it's going to be done in the summer, at the very time when his involvement with Arsenal starts to increase. That must be a strange mindset for a player. You signed a pre-contract before?
Yeah, I have actually, yeah. When I was at Celtic going to Hibs, I'd signed it in the January, and I wasn't allowed to go either. I had to wait to the end of the season.
And did you play? Did you see him play a lot for Celtic at that point yet?
Not at that point, but I think in this situation, obviously, a player of Kieran Tierney's ability and the fact that Arsenal are struggling in that position, obviously Zinchenko's been looking throughout the day. What Kieran Tierney and Celtic do now after him signing that pre-contact doesn't matter to them. They need to look after their own interest, as Hugh says. So I'd be very surprised unless they were able to get one out, and then even at that last hour, it would take a bit of a negotiating to get that done.
Look, I know these managers, and Mikel Arteta will be very clear, and he clearly has a number of options that he thinks are ahead of Kieran Tierney, Hugh, but also in theory, Kieran Tierney could keep forcing his way into the Arsenal team, and the Arsenal fans' minds grow and grow and grow towards the end of a season, then he leaves.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, I just find it a little bit strange.
Arteta always strikes me as a man with tunnel vision, and he just sees Arsenal and what can be done to possibly take over from Liverpool at the top of the league, and he's got Europe to contend with. And he's saying to himself, I need Tierney. I don't use him that often. It's mainly off the bench, but I can't afford to let him go, and that's the end of the matter.
Well, the Celtic manager was keeping his cards close to his chest in terms of what positions he wants to address before the end of the window, but he did reveal, Celtic fans, you could be seeing the second debut of Jota at Fir Park on Sunday.
We're hopeful of improving the squad. I think that is key for us. As players gone out, we want to keep the strength in the squad. We've brought in a few. Brought in like Jota, we're really happy with. He's a great period here. And now he's got the chance to build on that legacy. He's a little bit behind in terms of his fitness and football fitness, I would say. But he's a fantastic addition for us, so hopefully we can add a few more.
Do you feature on Sunday?
Yes. Yeah, he'll be in the squad. We need to work him back up, both in the training pitch and in the game, and then we'll just build him up over these coming months.
Alec is on the line. How are you, Alec?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What have you got for us?
I was saying about the whole Jota goal. You said the other night that obviously things on you, but you would trust you couldn't catch a goal. Got that big boy's heels.
Why would Trusty want to catch anything? He's not a goalie.
Sorry?
You said Trusty couldn't catch a cold. Oh, you mean like running? You don't think he can catch people?
He's the first one in defence. But that second goal was absolutely shocking. Why let go?
I'm sure that was Trusty's fault, was it?
Well, you know, where are we going with all of this, Alec? You know, what's the point you're going to make?
You want Celtic to sign a new defender in the window?
A new defender. I think the board should wake up and say, look, we've got all this money and they're not paying wages. They bring people in on the cheap like Jota again. The thing is, all the fans are over it.
He was £8 million. Some version of cheap. Wow. I know the point wow. compared to what was... How's Jota on the cheap? I'm lost.
I listened to Joel last night. I could understand your bewilderment, Gordon, when Joel started to talk about Brendan Rodgers working his ticket and all.
I'd forgotten about that.
I don't know where fans get these ideas from. Jota is an outstanding piece of business.
His wage packet will not be cheap. Let me speculate about that.
So to go down the old Celtic biscuit tin road is simply not applicable now. They broke their own transfer record to get Arne Engels, £11 million. They are, you know, they're moving towards yet another title. They've got the excitement of Bayern Munich. They do need cover for Greg Taylor, undeniable. They do need another striker. Kyogo took 85 goals with him when he went to Rennes. They need someone, and someone of high calibre. They had the two goals from Adam Ida at Aston Villa, and good luck to them. But Adam Ida is not yet the go-to guy. I think Celtic need a go-to guy up front there. They have the makings of an outstanding team. When Kieran Tierney comes back and, you know, We've got Alistair Johnson on the other side, and so on and so forth. There's an awful lot of good things going on. So bashing the board is not really a topic of conversation at the moment.
Brendan Rodgers there, Scott, saying he wouldn't confirm kind of what positions. He says just want to be stronger going out of the window than going into it. It must be, though, quite simple from the outside that if Kyogo goes, you're going to need a striker.
Yeah, you would expect Celtic to replace that sort of profile that Kyogo bring to the team. A Grabie Hugh as well. I think they'll do a short term loan deal for a left back till the end of the season. As for, obviously, Alec on Trusty, I actually felt Trusty against Aston Villa, considering how many times he had to defend one on one against a striker of Ollie Watkins' calibre. I felt he actually done pretty well, to be honest, because Celtic had obviously kind of locked off that middle of the pitch and they just went long, and it was a foot race, and he definitely has a bit of pace and recovery. And for me, I actually thought as the game went on, he got stronger. So listen, I think it's a strange one to come out and start criticising the board in terms of what money's spent on certain players. The reason why they've spent money on Jota is Celtic need a winger. They have a tried and trusted player who, twice when he's came to Celtic, he's been a star performer, and one who gets fans off their seats, and one who fans want to go and pay money and watch, which there aren't many about now for the price that Celtic would want to pay.
We love a good theory in Scottish football, Hugh, and one I've seen online in the aftermath of Villa Park was that Brendan Rodgers brought the two youngsters on to make some sort of statement. You know, you always hear that,
yeah,
to show that you know that they need more players in or whatever. Is it one you would pay much attention to?
My interpretation of Daniel Cummings coming on was that Celtic are desperate to hold on to him. Contract's up at the end of the season. Is he going to go down the Ben Doak road, the Rocco Vatta road, the Daniel Kelly road? Young boys now don't dream of playing for Celtic and Rangers. They are a means to an end. So I thought Daniel Cummings not only making his Champions League debut but making his Celtic debut was with a view to getting him to sign a lengthy contract. With regard to Dane Murray, he's been at Queen's Park. He last played for Celtic 3.5 years ago, but Brendan Rodgers appears to rate him, and I think we'll see more of Dane Murray, because you certainly won't see any more of Mike Navrotsky. He was on the bench at Villa Park, and Dane Murray, late of Queen's Park, 3.5 years after his last Celtic game, got onto the park before Mike Navrotsky. If Celtic could get Navrotsky off the wage bill by 11 o'clock on Monday night, they'd be delighted.
Thank you to Alec on the line. What about Michael just down the road in Clydebank? Michael?
Hi, Pam, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, Michael.
Not bad. I've just got a suggestion about the Kieran Tierney transfer. I think we should actually push a boat out for him to try to get him in this transfer window. I think we need a midfielder, and I think for the next the next part of the season, you could do a job for us in there next to Tierney, next to McGregor. If you look at the Aston Villa game there, and a few of the away games, we've really lacked a bit of defensive kind of mentality in there, and it's caught us out a few times. I mean, we had a whole week there to prepare for the Aston Villa game, and we gave away 2 goals in the first 5 minutes. It's not acceptable. I mean, I think we need to change up there in the midfield.
There will be no Kieran Tierney. There's nothing that Celtic can do. And that's why Brendan Rodgers, I think, today said that the last time I'll speak about it. Because Mikel Arteta, someone that Brendan Rodgers will know extremely well, has clearly said to him, I can't help you. I need him until the end of the season. And then you get him. So Brendan Rodgers is trying to be respectful. And there'll be no Kieran Tierney by Monday.
I know what Michael means, though, in theory. I'm not saying this is going to happen. Arsenal say no, not just now, but Celtic say, well, here's a few million. And you, but I know where you're coming from. You're shaking your head, Scott Allen. You're not having Kieran Tierney coming to Celtic as a midfielder, are you?
No, it just goes against everything the way Brendan Rodgers plays. It's always old go to one, and everybody says get a bit of dig in there. Celtic work off a system and a structure. Players who play in there need to be able to receive the ball in a certain type of way to then get their better players who are forward up the pitch into attacking areas. That's how Celtic play, that's how Brendan Rodgers plays. You played left back and centre back your whole career, all the way through the academy. at Celtic, at Arsenal, Sociedad, you can't just then go into midfield and think you have 360 vision, start receiving the ball the same way as these midfielders have played their whole careers. It just doesn't happen, whether you can put a tackle in or not.
It's something ironic as well, if the thing that ended Kieran Tierney's first team Arsenal career was
he couldn't go into the
inverted fullback, yeah, and so on. So I'm not sure if it would work. But also, Michael, see this stuff about, you know, we had a whole week to prepare for Villa and then we conceded. You can have a month, a year to prepare, and they're just a good team, aren't they? They can do that to you, surely, in Europe.
I know they've gotten, but it's been a consistent thing going on in Europe with Celtic. That's not the first time we've done this. For me, it's the away game now. You're going in with your heart in your mouth, because you know what's going to happen, and it repeats itself all the time. And you know what's going to happen. I see the moment score with the system, and he's played left back all his time. See, really good players, they can adapt to positions. I've seen it with Martin and even Chris Sutton. They moved them back in the midfield, and he was outstanding. Didi Agap was a ball, they came in with Celtic and played him on the wing. He was outstanding for us. Good players can adapt, but anyway, if we couldn't play Tierney in there, I still think we need a defensive minded midfielder.
Don't think you can give them a bit of credit, Michael, for being two goals down as early as they were and getting it back to 2-2 by half time, and they're not. Do you a bit of praise there?
Yeah, Hugh, but it's easy to play when the pressure's off you. It's like, right, that's us, 2-0 down, now we can play and we can go and...
I don't think it's easy at all. I think you're 2 down in 5.
Especially the fact that
didn't go very well in Dortmund.
That's what my point is.
Down, I have to say.
Like, naturally, when you've been through that process against Dortmund and you've been on the end of a heavy result, the head feel, oh, this could end up really bad. I actually thought they dusted themselves down really well and still carried a threat and defended better from that moment onward. So I think they deserve a lot of praise for that.
See, to be fair to Michael, though, look, you can't just roll over, and clearly you're going to play good teams in Europe and you have to find a way to stop them. I just think you're going to concede goals at that level of Europe, and I've just heard this a lot. This goes way back to Brendan Rodgers' first time and then Ange Postecoglou. It's not always that your system's wrong. It's just not. Every team in the world thinks they can prevent that the goal that, you know, they conceded, and sometimes you can, but that doesn't mean that there's a silver bullet
no.
to fix that.
Well, the loss of Carter Vickers came very late in the day, yeah, at Villa Park, and Carter Vickers is undoubtedly better there than Liam Scales. So that was part of it. I do think that the whole thing's about levels, and Aston Villa are a far higher level than Celtic.
Because that's the thing. Carter Vickers could play. Celtic could change their system. Celtic can play any system they want, and Aston Villa would still be favourites to win the game, wouldn't they?
7 days a week.
Anyway, thank you to Michael on the line. It's a good time to call. We could line you up next, so jump on board if you can. What about this teaser? It was like pulling teeth a bit at the start, but they're finally getting somewhere. Can you name the last 8 Celtic players who went directly from loans to signing permanently, like Adam Ida, Paolo Bernardo,
Carter Vickers,
Cameron Carter Vickers, the aforementioned
Jota,
and Jota for the first time?
Got another one.
Nah, let's leave it there. 4 down, 4 to get. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
So it's on the home straight for tonight. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. But still time. If there's a burning issue you want to address, please do give us a call. 0141 951 1025. You two have work to do on the teaser that was sent in by Jerry in Erskine. As usual, he emailed it into us. So if you like the sounds of it, you want involved, please email us fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the last 8 Celtic players who went directly from loan to permanent signing? There are actually quite a lot recently. Ida, Bernardo, Carter Vickers, Jota the first time. It's a formula that's worked quite well for Celtic anymore.
Scott Bain?
Yes. Oh, you would know that one.
Part of that, yes.
Wouldn't you? Just remind me again, because I always forget. There's a triangle. You.
Scott Bain's at...
You can't even remember.
Scott Bain's on loan at Hibs from Dundee. Uh-huh. I'm on loan at Dundee from Celtic. Simon Murray's at Hibs. We could be here all night. Anyway, at the end of the day,
you go from... In the end up, Scott Bain goes to Celtic, you go to
Hibs,
and Simon
from
Murray
Dundee
goes.
Simon Murray ended up at Dundee.
Right. You follow that, Hugh?
Yeah. clear as mud.
That was a January deadline day, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
There
it
we
was,
go.
Yeah.
That's the sort of excitement we could be in for. And what is it? It's Monday, we said. So there you go.
Johnny Kenny?
No.
What's the fullest one back on that?
Paddy Roberts.
There is one before Scott Bain, and it's not Patrick Roberts. So there's two in between sort of Carter Vickers and Bernardo, that round about that. So before Bernardo, there's two. And there's one that you've not got the furthest one back. It's not that far, but it's before Scott Bain.
What year?
Oh, I don't know, 20... Early Brendan Rodgers' first spell. So 2017-ish, maybe. Maybe 2018, something around that. It wasn't, yeah. Perfect example of this model, though, again. Come in, have a look at him. He's good. Sign him. Sell him for big money. That sort of thing. No?
Odson Edward?
Yes. The clue must have been better than it sounded. Right, two to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. Hopefully, we've got first v third in the championship tonight. Falkirk against Livy. Very much looking forward to that. Let's skip sort of to Sunday quickly, Hugh, but we've done loads on Celtic. From a Motherwell point of view, we've said a lot this week, but we've not heard from you. I wonder your thoughts as we reach the end of a week where we started it with Stuart Kettlewell as Motherwell manager. I think we all expected him to still be. He's now not.
Yeah.
And they take on Celtic on Sunday.
Worst possible opposition, given the week they've had. Difficult week. I read Stevie Freo saying it had been a difficult week in training. That's never good to hear. They've got the prospect of Jota having a cameo role at Fir Park. I think Celtic want Jota to play against Motherwell, then Dundee midweek, then Raith in the Cup, so that he's as up to speed as he can get for the arrival of Bayern Munich. That means that Motherwell are right up against it on Sunday. Difficult time for them altogether. And they're also, what, a 9-game run without a win.
No, I think there's one a win in that spell, yeah.
One win.
Aberdeen.
Everybody beats Aberdeen, though.
that is increasingly true.
So it's a very, very difficult day for Motherwell. It would be a major blunder on Celtic's part if they'd left anything behind at Fir Park.
As for tomorrow, there's a lot to like. How can you look beyond Hibs Aberdeen, Mr. Former Hibs man? Because, as we said, there's a brilliant story attached to that fixture. The last time Hibs welcomed Aberdeen, it was a brilliant game, it was dramatic. Aberdeen were going to win it. They were right at the death. Up popped Rocky Bashiri, equalised, and Aberdeen's entire universe fell apart thereafter. They are dropping faster than you can imagine. They've gone, is it 13 in the league?
Yep.
And actually genuinely starting to lose track. Just from genuinely, that silence is not put on. I'm sort of run out of ways to describe this drop-off.
I'm just looking at the table, how close Hibs are to Aberdeen now if they were to win.
Give us the stat, Hugh.
Tomorrow's game.
You were dazzling us in the office.
On November 26, Hibs 3, Aberdeen 3. Aberdeen left Edinburgh 2 points behind Celtic at the top of the league and 23 points away from Hibs, who are bottom of the league. Wow. If Hibs win tomorrow, Hibs are 2 points behind Aberdeen. That's how dramatic the fall has been there. If Hibs win, it would mean a 21-point turnover for Jimmy Tilleen. And I think if Hibs lose, if Hibs beat Aberdeen, I think the Aberdeen fans will, for the first time, say, do we really have the right man in the job?
Seriously?
Got to be. 14 games without a win for Aberdeen. No one can regard that as acceptable.
Quick fire, because we're running out of time. Was last week's win against Motherwell the start of something for St Johnstone, or too little, too late?
Too little, too late for me.
Ask me that next Friday after
last weekend's game. They go to Paisley to take on St Mirren. It's 8th against 9th. Dundee against Hearts.
That's a really interesting one. Neil Critchley starting to...
Okay, here's your quick fire on this. Will Hearts finish top 6?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I like just it. Kilmarnock against Dundee United. I don't have anything snappy to ask you. Are Kilmarnock in bother?
I don't think so. I think Derek McInnes will get them out of it, and I think he will get something out of that game at Rugby Park, 5:30 kick-off. No, he's just, he knows too much to suffer like that.
In 11th as it stands, but it's all very, very tight. Right, I think that brings to an end the shortest quickfire round of all time. Can you finish off this teaser for us? Gerry and Erskine want you to name the last eight Celtic players who've gone from a loan signing straight into a permanent. Adam Ida, Paolo Bernardo, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Jota, Scott Bain and Odson Edward. Two to get, both from the same country. Both from the same country that's quite far away. You once holidayed there in 2002, Hugh Keevans.
Oh, right. Nakamura?
Nope. Come on, much more recently than that. It's a market they've used a lot recently, but which ones went loan and then permanent?
Kwon?
No, come on. These stick with Japan.
I don't know.
He's still there.
Hatai?
Keep going round them. The other one runs a lot.
Maeda?
Uh-huh. And what about one that's now a former Celtic player who's now at Birmingham? Japanese, as we've said. Give you five.
Give me the first letter of his name.
Oh, his initials are T.I.
Iwata.
My goodness. Just spell it out for them, quite literally. Thank you to Hugh Evans and to Scott Allen. Thank you for your calls, your tweets, and for keeping us company tonight. Much appreciated as always. We are back tomorrow from 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us then. And it's the GBX up next.